Christmas time is a time of miracles. We studied last week the miracle of the virgin birth. This wonderful angelic announcement that I'm going to take some time and preach on in the morning service. And then the miracle of Bethlehem star. Then I want to look at a couple more. Let's look at these. The miracle of divine protection. The miracle of divine protection. And one of the things that we're going to look at this morning is the way that God took care of the birth of Christ. There was a lot of forces that had readied themselves to destroy Jesus Christ before he could ever begin to accomplish what God had sent him to accomplish. In Revelation chapter 12, we see this spoken of in verse number 1, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. Now notice this, because this sets the stage to what we're going to talk about. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads, and his tail drew the third part of the angels of heaven and to cast them to the earth. And the dragon, watch this, stood before the woman. By the way, the woman represents the nation of Israel. The child being born is the Messiah that's going to be delivered. And the dragon, of course, stands for Satan himself. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child. Notice this next phrase. As soon as it was what? Born. And so one of the things that we see here is that Satan wanted to destroy Jesus Christ before he ever had an opportunity to grow up, live a perfect life, die on a rugged cross, pay for the sins of the world. He wanted to end this attempt by God to redeem man before it could ever get started. Now that gives you an idea. That pulls back the veil, if you'll let me say this, or the curtain, and allows us to see into the invisible world. I mean, what could be seen that night was a star and a stable and a young Jewish couple and shepherds and animals and an innkeeper that said there's no room and all of the things. But what we can't see because of the veil that covers that invisible creation was the demonic work that was busy that night. Satan wanted to end the life of Jesus Christ. Remember last week when we talked about Herod, and we spoke a little bit about the wise men that came and how Herod was struck with jealousy and he demanded to know where is he that is born king of the Jews? Where is he going to be born? What is this person? And boy, I'm telling you what, he laid a trap, and don't tell me that Satan wasn't behind that, motivating that and pushing Herod, this demonically inspired, insanely jealous king that was worried that somebody was going to be born that might grow up and usurp his throne. And so, the stage is set. Now we see Herod, but what we a lot of times don't see is the person, the one that was pulling the strings behind this. And so we see that divine protection, the miracle of divine protection was needed. Now let's go back to Luke chapter number 2 in the Christmas story. And if you'll kind of, when we get to Matthew 2, Luke 2, if you'll save those two areas, we're going to be kind of going back and forth in between those two Christmas stories this morning during our Bible study time. But we see God step up in a lot of different ways, and we see divine protection. Aren't you glad? Let's just stop here and make this practical. Aren't you thankful for the miracle of divine protection? You know what? I don't believe that humans even could see. You're going to see it's true. A lot of times humans could not see the supernatural activity that was going on behind the scenes. But I'm going to tell you this. We're going to get to heaven one day, and we're going to look back at 2012. And you know what? Some people could say, preacher, I could tell you in instances where I experienced divine protection in my life or my family's life. But how many times did it happen and we didn't even know about it? I was driving back from Linton yesterday. Was it yesterday or Friday? When did we get the snow? Was that Friday? Okay, Friday I was coming back, and I'm behind somebody that's slow. There's a lot of things that God's working on in my life, but that is still one of them. That just pray for your preacher. I think that I should be given supreme power in the universe to dictate who gets driver's license and who does not. if I could just have the power to pull people over, take their driver's license, cut them up in front of them, and tell them you are never allowed to drive again, this world would be a better place. It would. I would use it to good. I would not use it for evil. I would use it for good. But and you never get behind the slow person unless you're trying to get somewhere, and you know you're running a little behind, which I'm running behind most all my life. So we're coming along there, and you notice there's never cars coming the other direction when you're in a no passing zone. Come on, is it just me? I think, you know, God's still working on me to make me what I think. He just does these things to me, and I'll think as soon as we get over this hill, there's a passing area. I'll get around this, and then you pop over, and there's 17 cars coming, you know, and I can't get around. So that was my trip all the way from Linton to the Triangle, just about to here, and I finally give. I'm never going to get around this person. I just need to, you know, slow down and thank the Lord for the opportunity to follow this idiot that won't go the speed limits, you know. And so I'm coming along here. Now watch this. We are coming up the hill towards where Shanklin Street comes in to right down the road here. And the car in front of me, the vehicle in front of me, I'm behind him, you know, about this close behind him, I'm at a safe distance behind him. And I all of a sudden out Shanklin Street comes a white car. Never even stopped. The guy hit a patch of ice and came right on out, tried to take a right-hand turn, didn't get in his lane, came all the way over into our lane, finally got turned, finally got straightened up, finally got over in his own lane. And I said to myself, watch this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's one I happen to see. I will get to heaven one of these days, folks, and we'll see. You ever get aggravated because things didn't go exactly right in the morning and you didn't get out the door when you thought, or you're catching, you know, every light going through Terre Haute and you're just like, how could this be? How could they have these? I'm telling you, we're going to get to heaven one of these days and we're going to see where God adjusted things. Watch this. Sometimes in that instance, 10 or 15 seconds difference. 10 or 15 seconds difference. And what we're seeing here, and by the way, that miracle has played out in our lives, and I'm glad that we can claim that same protection going into 2013. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. God's awful good. And so here we go. The protection of an expectant mother. And chapter 2, verse 1, it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenus was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife. You ladies that have born children, understand this next phrase, being great with child. This wasn't the beginning days or months of the pregnancy. This was time to be delivered. And yet they were in the middle of this time forced to take a very lengthy trip, a very long trip, a very physically taxing trip. Folks, they didn't call up and get airline tickets or get on a Greyhound bus. And yet God took care of Mary. The protection of an expectant mother. The protection against a wicked earthly king. Now you remember what we learned last week, and if you would flip over to Matthew chapter 2, if you have those two places, just kind of save them. We'll be going back and forth. But think about this. I said this a few minutes ago, verse 7 and 8, we won't read the whole story. But Herod, this king that was prompted by the devil to try to end the life of Jesus Christ. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Herod had no desire to worship Jesus. He wanted to destroy his life. In verse number 16, we see verse number 11, let's go there. And when they were come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And you think about that tender scene, folks. This is not in a castle. This is in a stable. There's no guards that we can see. There's no armed guards we can see. You talk about a vulnerable situation. Here's a new mother recovering from a delivery, and hit her espoused husband, and there they are. Do you think that would have been any problem for Roman soldiers to walk in there and destroy life? And yet we see in verse number 16, Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth and sent slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet. In Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation, weeping, great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. Say, preacher, was Jesus destroyed in this massacre? Jump back up, if you will, verse number 12. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed their way, their own country, another way. And so the wise men are, there's divine intervention. And then verse 13, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt and be there, thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. He arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, departed into Egypt, and there was there until the death of Herod. And so we see God's divine protection, and here he comes, he steps in. And he says, you know what, I'm going to protect, I'm going to watch over, I'm going to take care. Herod's not going to get his way. And God divinely protected Mary and Joseph and this new baby Jesus from the attempts of Herod to destroy it. My heart breaks, and yours broke with it, my heart, the reports of the shooting there in Newtown, Connecticut. And I want to say this, I haven't said a lot about it. But I want to say this. Somebody said something about, you know, what was wrong with that young man. No one can understand what would possess somebody to do this. Folks, listen to me. Anybody that would do something like that, I promise you this is true if you study the Bible. There was demonic influence there. This man, you can talk about mental health. You can talk about medication. I'm going to tell you something. Isn't it interesting? That red dragon that we look back, see, we see in chapter 2, we see a human instrument, but in Revelation chapter 12, we see who was prompting the human instrument. And there's no way in the world, I don't know this young man, the only thing about him, but if you investigate into his life, I promise you what you'll find is that there were doors opened that he opened into his life that allowed Satan to gain more and more and more influence in his. Now, you young people, all look up here at me. All of you look up here at me. When this preacher stands up here, and your Sunday school teachers and our youth pastor stands up here and warns you against and away from certain things, there's books you should not read. There's music you should not listen to. There's movies you should not watch. We're not just a bunch of old fuddy-duds. You open doors into your life and allow satanic influence into your life. You have no idea what that might drive you to do one day down the road. And so you listen up. There's some things you don't play with. Every once in a while, you know, it'll be bantered about some new thing that has to do with the occult. You young people may have, from time to time, somebody will say to you, well, hey, listen, come to my house. I got a Ouija board. And listen, don't you mess around with that nonsense. I mean, don't you mess around with it. Okay, you stay away from that stuff. And I wish I could spend some more time. But what I wanted to say here was this. I'm going to tell you something. Herod was prompted by Satan. Well, who's behind this whole abortion issue? The devil. You can name the human elements if you want to, the human instruments. You can talk about people. I'm going to tell you something. Anybody, and I don't care who's here, you're going to hear this. Anybody that is fanatically for, and I mean works for, the destruction of young life and the protection of the right to destroy young life, Satan's gotten into your life. Satan's gotten into your heart. Okay, because that didn't come from God. God does not put it in the heart of mankind to destroy innocent life. Only Satan puts that in the heart of a person. And so be careful, you young people that are taught in the public school, you know, oh, there's nothing wrong with this, nothing wrong with that, you know, political correctness, all this. Talk about abortion as a woman's right and all that. No, you know, nobody's got any say over her body. And well, hold on a minute, that's not her body, that's another human being. Okay. And it's a human life. And so we're going to be doing some things next month talking more about that. So I won't I won't get too far into it, but aren't you glad, mamas and dads, aren't you glad for the miracle of divine protection? Aren't you glad that God ultimately watches? You know, we do everything we can. Grandmas, grandpas, moms, dads, brothers, sisters, we do everything we can to protect, and I think we ought to, and I think we ought to take good, sane, safe measures. But you know what? Safety is of the Lord. And I'm glad that, you know what, where human strength ends, God's power begins. And what a wonderful thing to go into 2013. Preacher, I'm worried about this. I'm worried about that. Hey, listen, God will take care of you. Protection against this wicked earthly king. Protection against a mass murder. Luke chapter 2, verse 13 through 18. Miracles. God. It just seems like this Christmas story is baptized in the miraculous. I won't have you run all over to look these verses up. I'm going to share them with you. But one of the things that we see when we talk about miracles and the Christmas story is the miracle of Old Testament prophecies fulfilled. Now, then this is exciting for the Christian. You say, why were those wise men there? Why did they know what was going on? Well, it was because they saw a star in the east, but also they had been studying some of the Old Testament writings. Let me just give you a breakdown of some of the Old Testament prophecies that were fulfilled. 742 years before the first Christmas, the virgin birth was prophesied. Now you think of that, 742 years. And is written by Isaiah, who, by the way, was not a Mayan. just to let you know this, he was not a Mayan. And so his prophecy actually came to pass. I got a text from Pastor Steve Nichols yesterday. And he said, rats, the world didn't end. Now I got to go do my Christmas shopping. And so anyway, I guess he was holding off just in case it did end. Then he wouldn't have to go Christmas shopping, but now he has to. So, but Isaiah chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. 742 years before the first Christmas, Isaiah looked through the telescope of prophecy, prompted by the Holy Spirit to write these words. Get this, Micah, 710 years before the first Christmas, the city of his birth was pinpointed. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting. So 742 years, the virgin birth is prophesied. 710 years before the first Christmas, the city of the birth was pinpointed. 740 years before the first Christmas, the divine nature of his birth was predicted. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And so 740 years before the first Christmas, the deity of Jesus Christ was affirmed. It was prophesied. Let's not forget this. This is a good verse to have marked in your Bible when those folks come knocking on your door with their have their bicycles parked and their briefcases and their watchtowers in their hands. You know what, folks? Don't ever, ever let anybody try to convince you that Jesus is not and has not always been God. Jesus is God. It's interesting that he's called here, shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Mighty, capital G-O-D, God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jesus is God. Had a lady, I made a statement here, and I had a lady wait for me in the foyer here. It's been several months ago. And I said, not only is Jesus the Son of God, Jesus is God the Son. And I said this, Jesus is as much God as God the Father. Jesus is as much God as God the Holy Spirit. And she was shocked by that statement. And she waited in the foyer and very kindly, graciously said, I need to ask you a question. I'd never thought of that. I always had looked at God the Father as God and Jesus as the Son of God. But I didn't realize realize he also was God, just came up from a different type of church upbringing, and I was able to share this verse with her and several others. And by the time she left here, the Word of God, I believe it convinced her in her heart, Jesus is God. He's God, folks. And so that was predicted, the divine nature of his birth, 740 years. Isaiah again, 712 years before his birth, the purpose of his coming was foretold. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone into his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. It's very interesting in Isaiah, of course, the famous Isaiah 53 not only tells us, did Isaiah tell us about the birth of Christ, but the purpose of his coming, that he would come not to just be born in a manger. Watch this, young people. Remember this. I know we're celebrating the manger scene, and we'll have the nativity scene here during our cantata, and I understand all those things, but listen, folks. Jesus came. He was born to die upon Calvary for the sins of each and every one of us. And so we see the miracles of these Old Testament predictions hundreds and hundreds of years before they happened. God had prophets write down minute details and the miraculous carrying forth of those predictions down to the very letter, to the smallest detail. And you know what? God saw those things through. The last miracle I'll end with is this, the miracle of a God-man sent to die for us. What a good place to end. You say this is a season of miracles. And when we study the Christmas story, it's a study of miracles. That's absolutely true. But the greatest miracle of all isn't the birth of Christ. It's the purpose for which he came. Jesus came to die for the sins of the entire world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ came, was born in a manger, and lived a perfect life, died on an old rugged cross. The Bible says he died for our sins. That's why he died. He died for Jerry Ross's sins. He died for your sins. They were all placed upon him when he died on Calvary, and he gave his life. 3 days, 3 nights, he laid in a borrowed tomb. Then up from the grave he arose. And because of that, he can offer to each and every one of us the gift of eternal life. He bought it. He paid for it. It's available to you here today. I never know who's here. Don't know the condition of your heart. And by the way, don't have to. That's not what God's given me to do. But I pray for you, and I'm concerned about you, and you're in a place where people love you and have spent the week praying for you. And more than anything else, the greatest miracle that could happen during the Christmas season is for somebody to turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as their personal Savior and just say, you know what, I've heard about him and I've heard the stories and I knew this and I knew that, but I never understood that he came to die for me. And I would like today to receive him as my personal Savior. We're going to have a beautiful musical presentation here in just a little bit. We're going to dismiss in just a moment here, give folks time to get all that set up and ready to go. And then we're going to have some congregational singing in the next hour. And then we're going to preach really, a very simple Bible message that I hope will stir your hearts. But if you're here this morning without Jesus, why don't you let God perform the greatest miracle that can happen in the life of a person? Let him do that in your life today. Receive Christ as your Savior. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've been allowed to spend, Lord, in the Word of God this morning. Bless the musical presentation that we're about to experience. And Lord, I pray that you would use it in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.